name is Elizabeth Fellows-Powell. I'm the Deputy Superintendent of Human Resources and Professional Learning. Today we have Kathy Yon.
I'm Kathy Yon. I'm the Deputy Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction.
And to the right of me, we have David.
David Lopez, Human Resource Director of Secondary Schools.
And to the very right, we have...
Hi, my name is DeAndre Peters. I'm the TIA Project Manager for ALEAF ISD.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We plan on sharing with you the TIA frequently asked questions throughout the process of TIA. We had many questions asked of us. And for that reason, we felt like it was important for us to do a video answering the questions that came to us. So we'll get started with our moderator.
All right. So thank you for doing this, first of all. I know TIA has been a big deal here in ALEAF. And so my really first question, and I know this didn't come from the teachers, but it probably was on their mind. Why TIA? Why was TIA brought to ALEAF?
So I was on the inception of TIA. Mm-hmm. I was part of that team. And basically, we felt like we wanted our teachers to be able to receive funding that the state would not be able to provide unless we did something different. And secondly, we knew that if we created a system like this, we would create a system that would have the teachers, the most effective teachers in the classrooms with our struggling students. So it was for two reasons, for student success, but also to reward our teachers. We felt like it was important for us to reward them financially since the state is unable to give us those funds. This way we would be able to pay them and compensate them for their hard work. I do want to say something unique about ALEAF is that we chose to have all teacher types designated. Most districts only chose to do math and reading. Mm-hmm. For us, we felt it was important, all of our teachers, it takes all of us to grow children. So for that reason, we had all teachers included in the TIA designation.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And I know DeAndre has sent out a lot of information. However, there were some questions. So I'll just get started with some of the questions that we had. For example, how was the T-test score calculated? And any of you can take that.
Of course, yeah. So the T-test score is actually calculated by a weighted average of the three observations. So we have observations 1, 2, and 3, which have different weights. Observation mm-hmm. 1, for example, is worth 50%. Observation 2, 30%. Observation 1 is over 20%. Observation 2 is 50%. Observation 3, 30%. And so after we have the ratings for all the dimensions, we then convert those ratings into a 5-point score. And so then that way we're able to easily translate that into a numerical score. And then we use the formulas that are found in the TIA FAQ to actually come up with a teacher's overall T-test score.
And I just want to say it's not that different than what it was before when we had T-tests. Mm-hmm. We had 2 walkthroughs and a formal observation. So when she talks about observation 1 and 3, they're basically walkthroughs, mm-hmm. but they're videoed and they're a little bit longer, but they're basically a walkthrough. So it's not that different than what we did before. Yeah.
And I know there are other factors that go into that, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll probably get into
yeah.
that later.
And I would like to also add that we only look at dimensions 2 and 3. So even though dimension 1 is reviewed for observation 2, we only focus on 2 and 3 for TIA.
Perfect.
So having the 3 different observations allows teachers to be seen over the course of the year and not just in one spot, one time space, and that gives them an advantage so that their overall performance is seen throughout the year.
Correct. Yeah.
And I do want to add that it's not just one person observing. Mm-hmm. In order for it to be fair, we have calibrated our scores and there are 2 people observing, so they get a fair score.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. So another one I looked at it and I was like, this is a really good question. Why does my T-test rating listed on the scorecard, why doesn't it match my summative?
And so the reason for that is because the summative score does not factor into our TIA scores. Mm-hmm. So we do have the weighted average of the 3 observations. So there may be some discrepancy between, say, for example, their dimension summative score as compared to their overall TIA score. And the reason for that is, like Dr. Villas-Powell mentioned, we really focus on calibrating or making sure our observers were calibrated on their observations. We're not as calibrated on our summatives yet. And so we did want to ensure that the data that we're sending to the state is as accurate as possible.
Is that something that we might be working on, calibration for summative? As we work on calibration, I know that principals worked on calibration throughout the year.
So each year we hope to refine our system. Obviously this was our first year to submit, right. So we're hoping to refine it as we go. We got a lot of feedback from our teachers, which we're going to be putting into place.
Great. All right, why were the minimum thresholds above the statewide performance standards? And I know that that was one of those things where, like, why why weren't more teachers, you know, submitted? So can you speak to that?
So we worked with a group of other region TIA districts, mm-hmm. and many of them told us that they were not submitted the first time they submitted their data because it was not calibrated just right. So one of the things that was asked of us from different resources was maybe you want to make it much more rigorous and your cut score a little bit higher than what you would normally do for your first year to see how your system works. So our first year, we did increase the cut score, so it was a little higher than the state's. But this coming year, we anticipate on getting closer aligned to the state and having more teachers TIA certified or designated.
And what did you notice from that, from having a more rigorous baseline? Was it hard to do every teacher? And will it be easier now that we have that you want to get to lower it? How do you see that changing?
All teachers were observed in using the same method. But I do find that now that we have a scorecard with our TIA, we're going to be able to measure our success along the way instead of right at the end. So as teachers are getting assessments back or T-tests, walkthroughs back, they're going to be able to see where they're at that time. So I do believe this year it's going to be easier for teachers to monitor where they're at.
I would say just like anything else, after you do it the first time, you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot from the scorecards and we learned a lot in the conversation. So I think as we go into year two, we will be messaging things a little bit differently as well, just so that we get more calibrated even on the scorecard pieces that we noticed might need some conversation.
Yeah, and just in kind of going back to the scorecard as well, we do want to make sure that that's a resource for teachers as well. It's mm-hmm. not just something that's like a report card at the end of the year. We want teachers to know where they are. And again, if we're transparent with our system, then they know how to earn a designation.
That was actually really good learning going through that scorecard with some teachers, because as a principal, it was the first time we were doing it too. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm explaining it, you're internalizing it, and then the teachers are understanding it a little bit better.
So one of the things we hope to do this year with that scorecard is train our principals to go over it together. So we're going to explain it to them so that they have a better understanding of it.
All right. And then DeAndre, I think you touched a little bit on this about how much each TIA component count towards the TIA score. Mm-hmm. You touched on the three observations. Can you talk about a little bit about the other components mm-hmm. that go into that?
Yeah. So each teacher, based on their teacher type, has a different has different components that are tied to them. And we base that on their teaching assignment, because we know it wouldn't be fair to rate a teacher on iStation if they only taught math. And so we ensure that we're actually capturing the things that the teacher actually teaches. And so, of course, with anything, we review it. And that's why we do want to make sure that we're showing and sharing the scorecard early, so that teachers have that opportunity to review the components that are making up their scorecard and then come back to us with any discrepancies that they find.
And when you talk about the scorecard, reviewing the scorecard, you're talking about the one we got this last year, right?
Yes.
So that they understand it and then know what they're working towards.
Yes. And okay. then we plan to share that actually a lot earlier this year, so ahead of data submission. So again, teachers know where we're at early in this process. And then they can also see which components are factored into their TIA score, which will be in the TIA handbook and Appendix B.
Thank you. Why is iReady listed as a growth measure for only 3 through 8, or grades 3 to 8?
Yeah, so that was an error on my part. I'm human. So unfortunately, it was a typo. It should have been K-8. And so I did rectify that or address that in the TIA handbook. But the score that was listed on the scorecard factored into that, or iReady factored into the score.
And the reason, of course, why we use iReady is because it's an integral part of our instructional framework for K-8 math. So that's why it's included. It's not included in every teacher type. So teachers will need to refer back to the handbook to make sure that that's included in their final rating, but that's why iReady is used.
Okay. And in case you're not sure what we're talking about when we talk about teacher type, it's the type of teaching. For example, you can be a PE teacher, you can be a third grade math teacher. So each of the teachers, they're called a different teacher type because they're scored differently. A math teacher is going to be scored differently than a PE teacher. And when we talk about teacher type, it's what they teach.
Yeah. And again, we do that because, like Dr. Villas-Powell mentioned earlier, we think that all of our teachers are integral to the process of educating our students. And so we have different components to make sure we're capturing all of our teacher types.
As a teacher, your students are your customers. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you have good customer service. So you want to treat your students right. How is the student survey score generated?
So first of all, the student survey is only administered for children from third grade through 12th grade. We want them to be able to read the question on their own and be able to answer it. Also, it's in multiple languages. If you speak something other than English, there's an option on the computer that they can read it in another language. In saying that, each student that takes the survey is rating the teacher on a 1 to 5 rating based on their effectiveness. It's not whether or not they like the teacher, but when my teacher teaches, I learn best because they do whatever. And they rate their effectiveness and they give it a 1 to 5. They take all of the scores of the children in teacher A's classroom, so 30 scores for this one teacher, mm-hmm. and they get an average. And so that one average becomes the teacher survey score.
In our high school, middle school and high school, teachers might ask how many kids are actually doing a survey on mm-hmm. me. We still only have one group of kids because we don't want kids to have to repetitively answer questions about their teachers. And so it's not an overload on the students either. It's a specific period, I believe, that we choose to offer the survey so that every teacher gets a survey group of students. Elementary is just their homeroom teacher.
Or so it can be homeroom as well as like PE teachers and things like that as well, or yeah. different teachers that they'll see. And then I'll also add as well that we do notice that we do have students at different levels of reading comprehension. And so we do offer different resources that I share with the TIA survey coordinators, as well as my teacher ambassador committee. And so this next year, we're gonna work really hard and kind of make sure that we're providing resources to ensure that teachers are able to explain the surveys to their student, as well as the students are able to access the survey on their own.
All right, I have a question. Teacher says, I met the minimum thresholds for each TIA component. Why didn't I receive a TIA designation?
Yeah, so that was a question I received a lot. and so the teacher, of course, has to meet the minimum threshold for each component that makes up their teacher type. But they also have to meet the minimum threshold for overall TIA score. And so again, going back to us being rigorous this year with our cut scores, our minimum threshold for to receive a recognized designation was a 4.3. So the teacher would have to meet all the components minimums as well as that overall TIA score.
What would be another threshold score from another district what's something lower than that?
So the state does provide minimum cut scores, and so I believe the minimum to receive a recognized by the state was a 3.7.
Okay.
But again, we wanted to be rigorous this first year. Of course, we're always going to be reviewing that, and so if we decide to make a change on that, we will be informing the teachers.
Thank you. All right. When will teachers find out about their designation status based on data captured during the 2022-2023 school year?
So unfortunately, it's somewhat difficult to remember how they capture the data. Each year is a year behind.
Okay.
So our data calculations from this year are from the year prior's data. So we will submit them in October and we'll get a final submission in February. And by May, we will be able to share with teachers whether or not they were designated based on last year's data.
And then celebrate and recognize those teachers that have met this accomplishment.
You said May?
May.
Okay.
Of 2024.
Right.
But teachers will know sometime in the fall if they're going to be put forth for a designation. Again, that's still pending state approval, but they'll have a better understanding of where they lie.
Thank you. One of the questions that was on here, why are already scores listed on my TIA scorecard?
So depending on your teacher type, if you teach math, then your iReady scores are going to be listed on there. And in some cases, they will be used for your overall score. iReady scores are used universally K-8, and so they will appear on there, but it depends on the teacher type again, whether or not that score actually goes into your final designation score.
So are you saying that if I'm a reading teacher, I won't have iReady scores? Or I could have iReady scores, but they won't be used for my designation?
So for the 22-23 school year, there were some reading teachers who had iReady scores, but they didn't factor into their score.
So
we're working right now with our data vendor to ensure that those teachers don't have that score, just so that it's no confusion.
Got it.
Yes. So a teacher that has iReady, that does iReady, their class of students mm-hmm. does iReady, if it is in their teacher type determining score, it should appear on the scorecard. Again, it's one of those things, first year, we saw some things that we knew we needed to fix. That's one of those things.
Why does the campus star performance affect their TIA score, a teacher's TIA score?
So kind of what we mentioned earlier, it takes all of us to be able to grow a child. And we felt that the committee, which included teachers as well as administrators, felt that it was the overall score should be calculated. It's a very small amount in most cases, mm-hmm. but we felt that it takes everyone, so everyone should be responsible on that and should provide, we should be able to provide a number for that.
And I know one of the concerns that a lot of teachers had is that we did have a minimum cut score for our star score, our school-wide star score. And so after taking that concern back to the TIA team and talking with Dr. Velez-Powell as well as Dr. Mays, we have determined that we're gonna remove that minimum threshold, but still keep the school-wide star component. Okay. So just because your campus might not meet the minimum threshold doesn't knock you out of the running for earning a designation.
But it makes sense to keep that because, like you said, I mean, it affects all of us. So it
takes a village to grow a child.
If not, then I'm going to be protecting my things instead of sharing it with mm-hmm. with other teachers.
And so. David, you make a good point. One of the things that we talked about early on, again, the reason why we did TIA was based on we wanted to reward our teachers mm-hmm. and, of course, student success. But one of the things that was a barrier that people felt like would happen would people would be in silos and not share their information. This is quite the opposite. What we intend to do is with the people that have their masters or they're designated, that they're going to be mentoring people. We want them to teach others. Just because I got a designation, that doesn't keep you from getting one. Right. It's not based on a certain percent of this district. All of our teachers could be designated. Our goal is to get as many as possible.
Yeah. And that was a natural thing occurring. Like, mm-hmm. if you got designated, I'm running over to your classroom to say, hey, what are you doing?
Because I want teach the same me. Thing. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about A-Leaf. We are such a big community of helping other teachers and helping right. other mm-hmm. teacher students.
Yeah.
And so we want to keep that same culture.
And Dr. Velez-Powell talked at the beginning about the reason that we included all teacher types was because we wanted kind of that community of everyone has an opportunity. So when you include the school-wide scores, it includes everybody in the final success of the students. So, mm-hmm.
How is TIA equitable for teachers who have special education or economically disadvantaged students?
Well, they're all of our students, right? And so we want all students to grow and all students to be successful. So really, they're not different. The different teacher types might change what we're looking at as data points, but if students are growing, that's absolutely what we want to be happening, and it's going to show up when they look at their scorecards and their designations.
And again, the system is about growth.
Right.
So it's not saying that all of our students, we know our students come to us at varying levels, and so we do want to honor that in our system. So we do take a look at where the student is at the beginning of the year compared to the end, and that's how we honor and reward that that growth that the teacher is making.
Thank you. What measures have been taken to ensure that classroom observations are fair and valid? Other than, you know, us calibrating as a district, what other measures are we doing campus-wide?
So at the beginning of the process, that was one of the things that was communicated through our educators that were outside of A-Leaf that mm-hmm. had done this before. They indicated that calibration was probably the hardest thing to do. So we were a step ahead and we got training in calibration starting last year, even though it wasn't until this year. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we get every principal, they have to pass a score, a test, and have a certain score to be calibrated. Every principal or AP that is doing an evaluation has had to pass that test to make sure that they are calibrated. Then on top of that, we do data walks and campus walks. And I may be the principal, you're my assistant principal, we go into the classroom, we rate, we come back and we do talking. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of review it and see where we were correct, and try to get more aligned. Mm-hmm. District-wide, we're doing lots of walkthroughs to be able to get better at calibrating.
I think it's important though, Mr. Lopez, to think about other ways that we can have teachers talk about what they think is good student work. So when you think about exit tickets or you think about what's happening with assessments and looking at data during PLCs, that's going to also help us to how do I know my students are growing? Because that growth measure, as Ms. Peters referred to, that's what's going to bring up your scores.
Right. And if you're getting those observations and it shows that you're growing, then your score should show the same, right?
Exactly.
Let's be aligned. Okay. How does the district plan to share more information about assessing TIA components?
So with this being our first TIA designation cycle, we know that there is still a lot of uncertainty and unknowns about TIA. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is, even like with this video, is provide more resources and more understanding for our teachers. And so then to the resources that we already have in existence, we want to refine those and make sure that we're putting accurate information and updated information so that all teachers know what it takes to earn a designation in ALEAF. And then we're going to continue to utilize our TIA teacher ambassadors.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, to be a champion at their campus for TIA.
So a teacher ambassador is that we have one teacher designated on each campus that is a representative of that school. And what they do is they come to meetings here, and what the information we share here, they go back and give to their campus. So each campus has a designated person so that they get information firsthand from us.
And then they also provide feedback for different things they're noticing on their campus so that we can refine our system. And so like I mentioned earlier, one of the things I want to work with the TIA Ambassador Committee on is our student surveys and how we can make sure that they're accessible for all students.
And I think just that ambassador and the administrators communicating, remember, I'm your voice at the TIA meeting, so that that person knows, that staff knows that that person is the one that can ask the questions or talk to us as a district committee about, hey, we thought about this, or have you considered this? Just making sure that that person is highlighted as someone that they can go to as a support and also to get answers to their ongoing questions.
I know in the beginning of TIA, when we were talking about, you know, how we're going to bring all this together, student service was a hot topic. So one of the questions is, why are student surveys included? And I know we talked about, it's all about students growing. And so I know I understand that part, but maybe they want to know, why are they included into my final grade?
So student voice is critical for us, because we understand that if they're engaged in whatever they're learning, they're going to learn better. So by providing the students with a survey, we're giving them a voice to speak about the effectiveness of the teacher. Hopefully that we get the information that the students are putting in the document, and we can take it and grow from it. So basically it's for student voice. Obviously we believe that students should have voice in their education, and what they say matters to how we teach. And so that's why we do student surveys.
The other thing it does is our guidance and counseling department, of course, is always concerned about SEL and how our students are feeling in their school environment. And so those surveys are going to actually help us also to provide additional services when kids don't feel good about the learning environment that they're in, or perhaps don't feel safe to be a risk taker as a learner. That's actually going to help us to change other district support systems that might need to be in play.
Then the surveys also act as like a learning tool for the teachers as well, because they get those survey results. Of course, the results are anonymous, but they can actually see how the students in their class feel. Yeah. And then they get different resources that they can utilize in their class to actually increase whatever that component was.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that, you know, they don't have to like, it's not about liking your teacher, but if you are comfortable in an environment that you feel like you're, you know, excelling,
engaged,
you do better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
research tells us that when a student feels safe, comfortable, and engaged in learning, typically they're making good growth. Yeah. So,
all right. How is my teacher type determined? I think we kind of touched on that a little bit. Is there anything else that needs to be included?
The only thing
that
I do want to say is, during the beginning of TIA, it took us 3 years to get where we're at. So from day one, we constantly sent out surveys for teacher feedback. So receiving the teacher feedback really helped us identify, okay, yes, all of these teachers need to be part of the TIA. So one, teacher feedback was critical for that, as well as moving forward, knowing what we could do with the information.
Do you foresee any additional teacher types for, you know, in the upcoming
at
year?
This time, I don't know of any specifically, but we will, again, as we learn more, we'll deal with what we learn and make those adjustments. Gotcha.
So every year you can assess what you
yes,
every
yeah,
year, so I think it's in April, we have an opportunity to change our application, and we can make those changes once a year.
I have a question that a teacher asked. It's not on here, but I'm going to ask it. A teacher that gets designated, that designation, they get that money for 5 years?
Correct.
But they're still assessed in the next year, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens if a teacher got the lowest designation, let's say this year, and then for this year, you know, for They got it for last year. For this year, they get a higher designation.
So they get the higher amount for the next 5 years.
Yeah, the 5 years would start over. No, five years would start over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in other words, if I'm a teacher that got the recognized, and I work hard because I know what I did, and next year I get master's, mm-hmm. then I, from that point, instead of only 4 years left, now I have 5 years on the master's.
Got it.
So each teacher can improve on their rating, as well as the state says we'd like to have all teachers take the assessment or be T-test evaluated so we can see the norm. It's more data that we can provide to show, yes, this is an effective teacher.
Will anything happen if I hit a master's and then the next year I'm distinguished?
Then again, you would go to the distinguished level.
Or no, so you,
you're going down.
I'm sorry, lower.
So you can never go lower within that 5 year period. So if you get master's the first year and say, for example, you get recognized the next year, you would still keep that master's.
You stay at the higher level.
Yes.
I think that was the concern.
Yes, that they stay at that level.
Great. What would you say to a teacher who feels like this is not what was expected? This is not a way to incentivize educators who already work above and beyond, only to feel as if they have the same chances as playing the lottery. It is not worth the extra time and effort wasted. What would you say to that?
I would say that, first of all, I think every teacher goes in to a beginning of a school year wanting to make a difference in their kids' lives. And so we have observations whether we have TIA or not. We are trying to help kids grow whether we have TIA or not. What TIA does is take all of that hard work and all of that time and effort and actually reward them in the end. So there might be a few extra conversations with an administrator or maybe looking at some different data points, but it's really ground in whether we are meeting the needs of our students every day and we're celebrating when our students are making growth. And then the teacher is getting to celebrate the incentive of, I'm gonna get additional pay because I am making a difference in kids' lives.
I love that. And actually, a lot of the interviews that we've done with our TIA designated teachers, a lot of them, the first thing they say is, I didn't expect this because this is what I was already doing.
Right.
And that's what we want to push. We are not having to jump through additional hoops. This is something that you're already doing. Right. We wanna recognize and honor that. And then for the teachers who are right there, what can you do to push to get to that next level to get that additional, or to get that designation and get that additional compensation?
I saw that exact same thing on campus. Teachers who got it, I mean, they didn't change anything. But what I really loved is the teachers that didn't get designated, they looked at their scorecard and they're like, okay, this is where I need to improve. This is where I need to work extra hard on last year to get to that level. So it was a positive
overall. That should be the spirit of TIA.
Right.
And then one of the things we're doing at the district level, again, to make sure that we're growing our principals and our leaders, is we're looking at the overall scores of the T-test, like their T-test scores versus their, whether or not they
growth
were designated,
scores.
The growth scores. Mm-hmm. So if there's a mismatch, that helps us better prepare the principal on how to better support the teacher. So we're using it as a learning tool, but just as these ladies said, it's nothing different than what we've always done. We're just now putting numbers to it and getting compensated for it.
And the system of looking at student growth happens in so many different areas of our district, right? It's in our PLCs. It's in our data conversations with principals and teachers. It's in our content coordinator conversations. And so really it's a part of the work that we already do. And it's a way to...
They're doing it in the classrooms. They're looking at, this period grew this much. This period,
Exactly.
So we wanted the opportunity to give teachers that extra incentive and that extra money to celebrate work that they're already really doing.
And just so you know, in this area, we're one of the few districts that are doing TIA. Many of the other districts felt that that was a lot of work to do to be able to lift it, but we felt so strongly about being able to compensate our teachers that we went ahead and did it early on when our pilot year, and we went through with it, and now we're fully designated as a TIA designated district.
Well, that was all of our questions, all of my questions. I really appreciate the heavy lift on this. I think it's just going to keep getting better. So thank you, ladies, for answering those questions.
Thank you. We
You're welcome.
It.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.